Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled The Power of the Cross. And I tell you, it has been powerful just talking about what Jesus did for us. The cross has so much more meaning than just a Roman implement of crucifixion. It's talking about everything that Jesus did for us, and the emphasis is what He did for us, and the cross negates all of the things that we do for Him. Now, there is benefit in us living holy, but it changes our heart towards God, and it's a testimony to other people, and it limits Satan inroad into our life. But it's only the cross that brings us into relationship with God, and it's only the cross that keeps us in relationship with God. It is not your holiness. And I've spent, last week I was talking about this from Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, that if a person embraces Jesus and says, oh yes, you've got to have Him, but then you also have to add to that what Jesus did, your holiness, and you have to live holy or God won't bless you and He won't move in your life. According to Philippians 3:18, those people are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a strong statement, but that is exactly what Paul said. I'm going to minister something this week that is going to shock some of you, but I think it is very appropriate. But I've been talking about the power of the cross and everything that Jesus has done for us. And you know, one of the things that has disturbed me today is that there are people who have latched on to the grace of God, and specifically the understanding that on the cross, Jesus paid it all, that He paid for all of our sins, and not only for our sins who are believers, but the sins of unbelievers. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that He's the propitiation for our sins, talking about the believers, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world, and you put this together with John chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, there's really only one sin that the Holy Spirit convicts people over, and that is the sin of not believing on Jesus. It is not your individual actions of sin, murder, adultery, lying, stealing, homosexuality that sends a person to hell. Those sins have been paid for by the cross of the Lord Jesus. But the only sin that is going to send you to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus. And so it all comes down to the cross. And I believe in all of those things. But something that has disturbed me is that there are some people that because of some of these truths and because of an understanding of grace, or maybe an exposure to grace would be a better way to say it, there are some people that don't believe that there is such a thing as a hell. And I've actually heard, I don't know this firsthand. Well, I guess I do. I do know some people who've embraced this and have fallen into it, but I don't know the ministers firsthand who are preaching this, but I have heard that there are people now preaching what is called ultimate reconciliation or universalism. There could be other names that are given to it. But people who believe that there is no such thing as a hell, and that really all that the Bible is referring to when it talks about hell is just talking about suffering in this life, but there is nothing after this life. And some people, there's all kinds of variations. Some people believe that there's a heaven, and people will go there, but there are people that just die instead of going to hell. They just are over with. Or there's other variations. Some people believe, like for instance, the Catholic Church, that you can go into a place of purgatory, which is kind of a limbo, and you can be prayed out of that into heaven. That is absolutely unscriptural. There are other people that believe that even people cast into the hell, even the devil and his demons, there is going to be ultimate reconciliation, and God isn't going to punish anybody in hell for all eternity. I've heard some of the reasoning. People say things like this, that it's not right to have a person who, you know, maybe just wasn't everything that they should be, but they tried to live a very moral life. They helped other people. They did all kinds of good things, etc. It's not right to take those people, and because they didn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, it wouldn't be right to put them in hell and have them suffer right along with Adolf Hitler or, any of the other madmen that have lived throughout history and have killed millions and millions of people. They say that's not just. But what they're missing is it's not your individual sins that send you to hell, because the sins of the whole world were paid for. Hitler's sins were paid for. It basically comes down to this. Did he make Jesus his personal Lord? Now, he professed to be a Christian, but there was zero evidence of it in his life. And there's lots of people who just think that they're a Christian because they were baptized as a baby or, you know, whatever the religious thing is. I personally don't believe that Hitler was born again. It wouldn't offend me if he was in heaven, because if at the last moment he cried out to God and got born again, that wouldn't bother me. Doesn't contradict my theology. I don't think that happened, but I'm saying he would have just as much right to heaven as I do, because I don't deserve to go to heaven. I may not have done the gross things that Hitler did, but it doesn't matter. My sins, whether they're little in comparison to Hitler's or big or whatever, my sins have been paid for. It comes down to, is Jesus your Lord? More than just words, is it reality? That's what determines whether a person is accepted by God and when they die, whether they go to heaven or hell. And see, some people say, well, it would be unjust to punish a relatively moral person right along with a very demonic and terrible person. But that's because they are looking at their actions, not looking at their acceptance or rejection of Jesus. And I don't have the words nor the time. If I had time, I still wouldn't have the words to be able to say this properly. But when you understand, it all boils down to what Jesus did. Jesus paid for all of your and my sins. All of them, not most of them, all of them. And Jesus suffered not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And on the cross, he paid for all of this. And if you could ever understand how holy and how awesome, how almighty God is, and because of his great love, he came and limited himself to a human being and suffered for 33 years. And then, yes, he suffered on the cross, but I mean, it was suffering just to be in a human body and to be limited to a physical body for 33 years. And if you could ever get an understanding, it has to come by revelation. I don't think that you could just figure this out with your mind. But if you, through your heart, could understand the exceeding greatness of God's payment that he made for our sins, and then to have a person reject Jesus, it doesn't matter if you are a relatively moral person. And if you did good things and helped other people, and you never did the real exceedingly bad things, if you reject Jesus, or if you ignore him, because after all, you're a good person and you don't really need Jesus the way other people do. If you could ever understand how great the gift of Jesus and his sacrifice was, and you see a person who either rejects Jesus or ignores Jesus. I believe ignoring him is just as bad as rejecting him. If you could understand all of this, then I can guarantee you there isn't a hell deep enough nor an eternity long enough to punish a person for rejecting Jesus. That is infinitely worse than Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, anybody you want to mention, any terrible atrocity, any murder, any rapist, any person who commits bestiality. Nothing compares with the rejection of God Almighty and such a great gift of love. That's powerful. So see, if you understood the real power of the cross, it would help you to understand that for a person to reject such a great gift, there has to be a consequence, a punishment for this. And the people who say that hell is just like a state of mind, it's not a real place and that you don't go there, it's completely inconsistent with Scripture. And so I've heard recently about some of the people who are preaching this universalism or ultimate reconciliation. They don't believe that there is a hell. They think that the only reason to serve Jesus in this life is because you get to experience the abundant life, whereas people that don't experience Jesus don't experience the abundant life, but they don't go to hell. People who are saying that are grossly missing what the Scripture says. I even listened to a tape from a friend of mine who taught on hell, and he said hell wasn't really mentioned in the Old Testament. And he just used a few references from the New Testament. And man, that shocked me when he said it. And I went and looked, and you know, I've got a printout right here. And there are 31 times that the word hell was used in the Old Testament. That's the English word that it was translated into. 31 times in 31 verses. And then there are 30 times in 28 verses that the exact same Hebrew word, Sheol, is used, but it was translated grave. And then there's 3 times that that same word was translated pit. But every one of these, pit, grave, or hell, is referring to a place in the center of the earth. And you know, if I had time, I could literally go through every one of these verses and read them and establish a lot of things. I'm only going to have a brief period of time here that I'm going to be able to teach on this, so I'm going to skip through some of this. Again, I would like to encourage you to please get this album that I've got on the power of the cross. And in the midst of that, I've got a teaching on saved from hell by the cross. And I think it's important for us to recognize what we've been saved from. And it's important for us not to take the grace of God and the goodness that He paid and make us think that that doesn't mean that there isn't a place of judgment and punishment. You know, I don't personally have this problem, but I have people all of the time that when I preach about the goodness of God and that God is love, 1 John 4:8, and I preach all this, people come up and they say, well, if God is good, then how could He ever judge anybody? Man, to me, I don't see any conflict between this at all. I don't understand the apparent problems that people have. That would be like if I love my wife, and if I truly love my wife, then if somebody came up and tried to abuse my wife, rape my wife, steal from my wife, I guarantee you, if I truly love a person, then I am going to hate whatever tries to destroy that person that I love. And I think that those are like two sides to one coin. I don't see any conflict between the holiness and the justice of God and His grace and His mercy at all. If you will accept His grace and mercy, there is tremendous love, and that is the true nature of God. But for a person who rejects such a great gift as God gave us through Jesus, as I said before, there isn't a hell deep enough or an eternity long enough to punish a person who would just reject or ignore such a great salvation. There is no conflict between that. And so I'm going to minister on these things concerning hell, which I know this may shock some of you, but I think it needs to be done, and we need to see what we have been saved from. Look to the rock from which you are hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you are digged. When it talks about look to the rock from which you are hewn, that's talking about Jesus. Isaiah used Jesus as a rock that was cut out of a mountain without hands. That's talking about see who you are in Christ, but at the same time, look and see where you came from. We need to keep in mind that we weren't saved because of some virtue on our own part. We were saved because of the goodness and the grace of God. We need to see where we came from, and I think it's also beneficial to see what we are redeemed from. And one of the benefits of understanding this teaching on hell and understanding that for those who reject Jesus in this great salvation, that there is a terrible consequence, that there is an eternity in hell. If you could ever understand that, then you know your worst day as a Christian ought to be better than your best day as an unbeliever. Because it doesn't matter if an unbeliever is getting the acclaim of the world, if they're famous, if they're rich, if it looks like the world is falling at their feet. Their future is going to be terrible. They will actually, all of the good things that happened in this life that they used to substitute instead of serving God is going to serve to be agony to them in hell, because they'll remember how that they were deceived by all of these things that came their way in this life, and they forgot about the eternity and the future that was coming. And man, that'll be part of their punishment throughout all eternity. On the other hand, those of us who may not get any credit in this life, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You could think about heaven and the fact that you have been redeemed from hell and that you will never go there. And it doesn't matter how bad your day is, that ought to put a spring into your step. It ought to cause you to rejoice and praise God. So again, there are a total of 63 times in the Old Testament that this Hebrew word Sheol is used. Let me just pick out a couple. And again, there's 63 times. And so this is by no means a complete expose on the thing. But in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Again, the people who say that hell is just a state of mind and that it's not an actual place. Again, this is talking about the wicked turned into hell. It's talking about a place. They are going to be going someplace. There's a number of these that talk about after this life, not talking about something that we're experiencing just in a mental or emotional state during this life, but it's talking about after this life. Here's another one. Psalm 16:10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." Now, this was a prophecy about Jesus, that his soul wasn't left in hell. This is talking about after his death, and he didn't see corruption. That's talking about that his physical body did not decay. It was raised from the dead. And you can prove this because this exact verse was quoted in Acts chapter 2 by Peter on the day of Pentecost. This was part of his sermon, and he says that this was referring to him. And so after Jesus' death, he went into hell, is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, that he descended into the lower parts of the earth and he led captivity captive. And so this isn't talking about just some state of mind, some emotional being. This is talking about after Jesus died, he descended into the earth and led the captive people that had been in hell out and brought them to paradise. Boy, there's just a bunch of verses. There's no way for me to cover all of these. Here's another one, Psalms 139. Verse 8, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Now again, it's very obvious that if I ascend up into heaven, God is there. If I go down into hell, talking about a place, God is there. Did you know that every one of these references are the pit, the grave, or hell that is used in the Old Testament is referring to a place in the center of the earth? And I'm just going to have to say some things because I don't have time to go in and verify all of this. This is something that you can study out on your own, so you can take this as andiology if you want to and go study it out on your own and come to your own conclusions. But this place, Sheol, was in the center of the earth. There's a number of scriptures that talk about that. There's many of these scriptures that talk about fire, and it just so happens that our scientists have discovered that the further you go down inside of this earth, that there is a molten core in the center of this earth. It is extreme heat, and that's exactly what the Bible says, that hell is in the center of the earth. It's a place of fire and a place of heat and a place of torment. And this place called Sheol, in that's the Hebrew word that was used in the Old Testament, there were two parts to it. And you can see this. We're going to be taking the scriptures, and so I'll go into this in more detail on tomorrow's program. But real quickly, let me just give you kind of an outline, and then we'll go fill in some of these details. But in Luke chapter 16, you find this instance of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man was an unbeliever. Lazarus was a believer. Lazarus got escorted into Abraham's bosom. Angels escorted him there. And the rich man died and he went to hell. Both of those places are called Sheol in the Old Testament. So Sheol was like in the center of the earth. It was a place for departed spirits. Once people die, it's not your spirit that dies. It's just your physical body. Matter of fact, you can verify this in James chapter 2, verse 26. It says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." When your spirit leaves your body, then your body dies. The spirit is the life-giving part. When a person dies, their physical body dies. It quits having life in it and it decomposes. But the person, the real you, does not die. You just step out of this body. Matter of fact, I have seen some people raised from the dead who personally, they have verified this. I've heard many, many, many testimonies about people when they die and they have an out-of-body experience. They see themselves laying there, and yet they are still conscious. They see themselves. I actually heard one testimony about a man who left his body and went to heaven, but as he talked to the Lord and the Lord sent him back, he came back. He saw the doctor doing some inappropriate things with the nurse. They were still technically working on him, but they had pronounced him dead. And this doctor was having some sexual misconduct with the nurse in the room. So when he entered back into his... He came in from like the ceiling and he saw the doctor and this nurse doing this. And then he entered back into his body. And when he entered back into his body, the monitor started going off. His heart was beating and there was some kind of movement. And all of a sudden the doctor and the nurse got to working. And this man told him, says, "I was dead. I went to heaven." And the doctor said, "Sure, sure, sure." And he says, "I was." And he says, "I can tell you what you were doing with that nurse." And he told this doctor what had gone on. And the doctor knew that even though that body was dead, that the person was still alive and still could see. So anyway, this is verifiable not only, I believe, by James 2:26, but it's verifiable by many people's example. You don't cease to exist. You still live. You just, your spirit and your soul leave your body. And you go either to heaven or to hell and your body dies. Then there is coming a future resurrection where every person's body who has ever lived on this earth, it doesn't matter if you got chewed up by some animal and swallowed or if you drowned at the bottom of the sea or how long it's been dead and if it's decayed and turned to ashes, God is going to somehow or another reconstitute every one of our bodies and we will be reunited with our soul and our spirit. And there is going to be a resurrection of that physical body and a reuniting. But even when your physical body is dead and lying in a grave, you are still alive. And you go to one of two places. Before the time of Jesus, before His resurrection, everybody went to a place called in the Old Testament Sheol. It was divided into Abraham's bosom and a place called hell. And I'll deal with this more in Luke chapter 16. After Jesus rose from the dead, He went down to this place called Sheol or hell, and He took those that were in Abraham's bosom, the believers, who were in the lower parts of the earth, and He took them to heaven. And now we have heaven above, somewhere out there outside of the atmosphere. Hell, it's the old Sheol without Abraham's bosom anymore. Hell by itself is still in the center of the earth. And that's what we have. There is coming a future time where we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. The believers will stay on the earth in the new Jerusalem, and there will be a new place where hell will be put into the lake of fire. I'm out of time today, but I will explain this more on our program tomorrow. So I encourage you to join us then, and please write or call and get these materials on Save from Hell by the Cross.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Power of the Cross is available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Saved from Hell by the Cross, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Denver, Colorado this week for a Gospel Truth rally Friday, December 2nd, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth seminar January 5th through the 7th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance January 19th through the 21st, and in Houston, Texas, for a Gospel Truth seminar February 9th through the 11th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
She was a grayish-white color. And she was still. And she had all these wires coming in and out of her. She was just, she was laid out on a table to be ready to be transported.
When I got into the car to follow the ambulance over to UAB, I had my quiet moment. And I was just praying, God, I know your will in her life. I know you want to heal. It's your will to heal. God wants you well. That kept coming back to my mind. And then the doctor said the heart did not develop. We run echograms. We only see a very small left side of her heart. And if it hadn't been for what Andrew had revealed to me in his teaching, I couldn't have held on to that. I would have spoke death. I would have I've let go of that faith. And this was the time.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on today's TV news story.
Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Experience the new Charis Bible College School of Healing Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3 p.m. in the CBC Auditorium, 850 Elkton Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org for more information. Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Charis Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.